Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Text 3. Sarvam hietad bhavan veda. Bhuta bhavya bhavat prabhu. Karamalakavad vishvam. Vigyana vasitam tava. Sarvam hietad bhavan veda. Bhuta bhavya bhavat prabhu. Karamalakavad vishvam. Vigyana vasitam tova. Sarvam,
all and everything.
He certainly etat this bhavan, your good self, veda, no, bhuta, all that is created or born. Bhavya, all that will be created or born. Bhavat, all that is being created. Prabhu, you the master of everything. Kara amalakavat, just like a walnut within your grip.
Just like a walnut within your grip.
Vishwam. The universe. Vigyana avasitam. Within your knowledge scientifically. Tava. Your. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. My dear Father, all this is known to you scientifically because whatever was created in the past, whatever will be created in the future, or whatever is being created at present, as well as everything within the universe, is within your grip. Just like a walnut. Purport. Brahma is the direct creator of the manifested universe and everything within the universe. He therefore knows what is happening in the past, what will happen in the future, and what is happening at present. Three principal items, namely the living being, the phenomenal world, and the controller are all in continuous action, past, present, and future. And the direct manager is supposed to know everything of such actions and reactions. As one knows about a walnut within the grip of one's palm. The direct manufacturer of a particular thing is supposed to know how he learned the art of manufacturing, where he got his ingredients, how he set it up, and how the products in the manufacturing process are being turned out. Because Brahma is the firstborn living being, certainly he is supposed to know everything about creative functions. This is Narada applying simple logic. What is this called? Karya Anuman. The deduction of the cause from the result. We can see the result that Brahma is able to create the whole universe. So we, Narada is deducing that he must have special knowledge to be able to do this. The cause of Brahma's being able to create an entire universe is he must have exceptional knowledge that other living beings don't have. Other normal living beings can't create universes. Actually, in the Vedanta Sutra, it says that even the liberated souls normally don't have the capacity to create a whole universe. Jagad vyapara varjam. The liberated soul has great power and great knowledge, but he doesn't normally have enough power to create a whole world, a whole universe. Nor does he have enough knowledge to do that. As Prabhupada explains in the purport, in practical terms, if you want to be the manufacturer, you're going to build a factory, you have to have the complete knowledge of the process of manufacture, including where you're going to get, collect your ingredients from, and how you're going to distribute the produced goods. Otherwise, your business will be a failure, unless you understand the entire process. So Brahma must know the entire process of creation. None of us, no matter how much claim we have to knowledge, we may have on our business card a PhD or other initials that indicate that we have great knowledge. But Brahma, what initials he must have on his business card, because he's got all the knowledge. All the courses of education originated with him. So the university is giving out 40 different departments, different letters. You can pick your letters and jump through some hoops in order to earn your PhD or your LLD or whatever you want to get, MD. You do the things they make you do and you get the letters to put on your business card. But Brahma is the original, the origin of all this university education. What does speak of mundane university education? The original Vedic knowledge, of which all this mundane knowledge is just derived from. This is explained in the 11th canto. Knowledge in this universe originates from Brahma. He taught the Vedas to his sons. Most of them were Karmakandis. Narada, whom we are meeting here, is the only pure devotee among Brahma's mind-born sons. The rest of them understand the Vedas from a different point of view, from a materialistic point of view. Karmakanda. And they teach the Karmakanda system. The Kumaras teach Jnana and Yoga. Narada teaches Bhakti. So already in the second generation, we've found and we see a specialization, a differentiation, different departments of knowledge. Even among the immediate sons of Brahma, some are Karmis, some are Jnanis, one is a pure devotee. This is all coming from the same original Vedas that Brahma received. So certainly in the many generations after that, this knowledge becomes more and more differentiated, specialized, and transformed by material interests. The same Veda, the Vedas are Nigamakalpa Taru, desire tree. The desire tree gives you as its fruit what you want. Those who want material success will get all instructions for how to become successful in this world from the Vedas. Those who want liberation will get instruction how to become liberated from the same Vedas. And those who want to approach the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord will get from the same Vedas the enlightenment how to do that. So the original Vedas can be realized from so many different personal points of view, different individual interests. And that's how all the different kinds of knowledge in this world are derived. And then down to the modern times, when everybody's interest is very materialistic, and we get the modern universities with all their departments of material knowledge. But it's all coming from Brahma. He must understand all of it. He has to, otherwise he can't create the universe. Not only that, as explained here, or as stated by Narada, Bhuta, Bhavya, Bhavat Prabhu, you are the master of past, present, and future. Bhuta means past. Bhavya means future, and Bhavat, present participle. It means the present. What is being now? What is happening now is Bhavat. Vartamana. You know not only what is happening, you remember everything that has happened before, and you know things that have not happened even yet. That kind of omniscience ordinary living entities don't have. But if you're going to create a universe, you have to have that much knowledge. Jai Shri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Shri Gaurinitai. You have to be able to create the universe, you have to be able to plan what's going to happen from its very beginning up until its destruction. Countless ages, you have to know in advance what is going to happen and plan for it. That requires what appears to be, as far as Narada can see, you have to be omniscient. He must be God. So he's wondering, you must be God. Why are you worshiping somebody else? I can see you know everything. And you're able to create the whole universe. And even after creating it, you're being worshipped as its maintainer and destroyer. He's telling his father this. So, I'm in doubt. It looks like you're the supreme, that you're God. But you're meditating on somebody else. What is this situation? Please resolve my doubt. As Narada probably knows, the Vedanta Sutra says that even in liberation, a finite living entity doesn't have the power. Even a liberated soul does not know everything, and he can't create the whole universe. So, Brahma is going to have to explain this to Narada. He will in the next few verses. Yena svarochita vishvam rochita rochayam yaham yatarik ognir yatasomo yatariksha grahatarakha. Brahma explains, yes, I have all this power and all this knowledge, but it has been given to me by someone greater, who is the original supreme, who in whom all this power and knowledge is belongs to him as his personal potency. And I have simply been empowered by him. Yena svarochisha. So the metaphor is given of light. Like the sun is the source of all light in the universe. So that light represents all spiritual power and spiritual knowledge, enlightenment, and the power of the sun. That represents the power and infinite power and knowledge of the Supreme Lord. So Brahma simply explains that I have been empowered by that self-effulgent Lord who is omniscient, who knows everything, and is omnipotent, who has all power. Nobody gave him that power and knowledge. It belongs to him. But he is sharing some of it with me. Being empowered, enlightened by that Supreme Lord, I have knowledge and power. But only in a secondary way, and only to a limited extent. Okay, unlike everybody else in this world, I have the special capacity to create the whole universe. I'm the original jiva in this universe, and I can do what no one else can do. I can create the whole universe and maintain it. Yes, you're right, Narada. I have the universe, the whole world in my hand, like Amalaka. So Amalaka actually means Amala, this small fruit. You must have... I think it's available in the south too, no? Amala? So the Chavana Prash is mostly Amala. It's 20 times more citric acid than lemon even. Very good for you, you know, for your health, for building up immunity from infections, to take this amla. It's a very small fruit. We read in the Bhagavatam how the cowherd boys were throwing them as balls, playing with them. So the universe is like an amla. Prabhupada says walnut for the Western audience who may not have, they don't have this berry. The amla doesn't grow in the West. I don't know, other countries, Russia, I don't know. But in America, we never see it. We don't know it. So Prabhupada translated as walnut, akrod, this nut. It doesn't change the idea. Small fruit or nut in the palm of your hand. You have total control over it. You can throw it in your mouth, eat it, it's gone. That's total control. You can devour it at will. Or throw it, or do anything with it. It's yours. No one will tell you what to do with the amla in your hand. So similarly, Brahma has the whole universe in his hand. That means he has all power over it, to maintain it, to create it, to maintain it, and destroy it. But Brahma is going to explain. Narada has his doubts, but Brahma is going to very quickly clear up those doubts. Only because the supreme source of all that power and knowledge has given me, shared with me his power and his knowledge. Therefore, I'm able to do this work. And it's just one universe. There are countless universes coming from the body of Mahavishnu. Like a bag of mustard seeds. Like one... This sarsong, mustard seed. In Vraja, they grow it a lot. It's one of the major crops, at least in Govardhan. Fields and fields with this mustard seed, yellow flower growing on this on the tree, on the plant. And the seeds are very small, pungent. You know, when you cook it, it makes a strong flavor, but it's very small. If you have 1 kilo of this sarsong, how many seeds do you have in it? Who will count? Who will waste the time to count how many seeds? 500,000? I don't know, in 1 kilo. Because they're so small. Like that, you're in one universe, and you think that I, Brahma, the creator of this universe, am God. But don't you understand? This is just one mustard seed in a whole 2 kilo bag of mustard seeds. 10 lakhs, who knows how many mustard seeds. You cannot count them. Nobody will bother to count them. You know, so what am I? Just another Brahma. You probably all know this story. Mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's actually coming from some Purana, I don't remember which one. How Krishna in Dwarka was visited once by Brahma. And the gatekeeper, Krishna was a little busy playing chess maybe with Rukmini. And the gatekeeper told Brahma, you'll have to wait a few minutes. I'll announce who's here. So, who are you? Who am I? I'm Brahma. Don't you recognize? And the gatekeeper went in to tell Krishna, Brahma's here to see you. And Krishna nonchalantly, didn't even look up from his chess game. He just said, well, ask him, which Brahma? So the doorkeeper, Chokidar, had to go back and request, sir, I'm sorry, but Krishna wants to know which Brahma you are. Which Brahma? I thought I'm the only Brahma. What is this? Okay, tell him I'm Chaturmukha Brahma. Lotus, I'm born on the lotus flower. Four-headed Brahma. So Krishna was informed, and he said, okay, after 10 minutes he can come in. Tell him he can come. So Brahma was allowed. I don't know if he had to go through a security check or what, but he was allowed to come see Krishna. And he came in. He said, I just wanted to offer my respects, come and see your lotus feet, offer my obeisances, thank you. I know you're very busy, so I'll go now. But I have one question, Krishna. I thought I was the only Brahma. Why are you asking which Brahma? So Krishna said, okay, I know you're also busy, but just sit here and wait a few minutes. And Krishna mentally summoned all the Brahmas. And they came from all the countless millions of universes. Some with a few more heads, 12 heads, 16 heads. Some with thousands and millions of heads. Brahma, that we know in our universe, we're the smallest universe by some circumstance. Our Brahma has only 4 heads. Brahma on other planets have more heads than that and sometimes millions of heads in the big universes. Just like in India, when you buy anything, seeds, even mustard seeds, especially when you buy fruits and vegetables, not one is the same as the other. You can buy a kilo of Mosambi and each one tastes different. Some are sweet, some are rotten, some are dry. That's natural. In America now they've perfected the technique of irradiating and genetically engineering the fruits and vegetables so they all look the same. Every single one is perfectly shaped and tastes like plastic. Yeah. I'd been there. I was in America in December. I thought we'll get some fresh vegetables, something nice, but it was all, and everything tasted dead and like plastic, even though it was beautiful. Everything shaped the same. Yeah. So actually, in nature, nothing, even among members of the same species, every individual is different. Different size, different shape. So all the Brahmas are different. The universes are different sizes. And the Brahmas come with different numbers of heads, according to the size of the universe. Or maybe the proper explanation is number of mathematical dimensions. We live in a three-dimensional universe. When Brahma looks around to see all the directions, that means he needs 4 heads to do that. You want to describe what is going on in three-dimensional space, you need 2 axes, X and Y, and Z, a third one. But actually you end up with 4 quadrants, four directions of space. That's the math, that's what happens in three-dimensional geometry. Brahma needs 4 heads to look around in three-dimensional space. And if you have more dimensions, you need more heads to see in all directions. So therefore, Brahma, these other universes, must have more dimensions, more complex space than we have in our universe. Anyway, all the Brahmas came, and our four-headed Brahma, the smallest Brahma, he was amazed, shocked, astounded, and he offered his obeisances, apologized, and left. He learned that graphically, certainly that he's not even the creator of this one, the sole creator of the universe, because there are many other universes. And each one has got a Brahma. So Narada has to learn that too from his father. He has the good culture. He's a nice boy. He knows that if you want to understand something, the best process is to go to the authority who knows. These things cannot be ascertained by empirical investigation. No one will ever be able to figure out how the universe was actually created and what might lie beyond the universe by any ordinary mechanical scientific means. No radio telescope will ever be able to see Mahavishnu lying on an Antashesha. He will remain invisible. They won't even find Mount Meru passing through the, you know, the axis, the pole, the North Pole of the Earth. They'll never see it. People fly over the North Pole in airplanes. They don't see Mount Meru because it's invisible to ordinary material eyes. It's subtle energy. They don't see it any more than they see their own mind. I'm talking to you. I see your eyes glittering, your smile on your face, but I don't see your mind. That's subtle. I can't see it. Mount Meru is subtle. Mahavishnu is transcendental. We can't see those things with our eyes. So with your eyes, even if you extend your eyes with radio telescopes and electron microscopes, you won't see Mahavishnu in your radio telescope, and you won't see Paramatma, Kshirdakshay Vishnu, in your electron microscope. You'll never see. We can see through the eyes of the Bhagavatam because we're receiving it from transcendental authority. We learn about this world with our eyes, but we learn about the next world, the spiritual world, with our ears. And the process is not passive, but receptive. Not passive. We're not just sitting back and listening. We have to ask questions, and we have to listen attentively. We have to exercise our willpower to come to an agreement with what we hear. Guru Mukha Padma Bhagya Chitete Koriya Aikyo Arno Koriya Mone Ash. It's the business of us as disciples to take or to receive very willingly and thankfully the instructions of our spiritual masters and to decide, yes, I agree with what I'm being told. Not blindly, but intelligently. Whatever doubts we have, we should raise those doubts and let them be resolved. We should clarify our intelligence. We should ask for help to overcome our confusion and understand these transcendental matters very scientifically, very thoroughly and carefully. Just like students in school, they want to learn something that is going to be of practical use in their life, and they're serious about it. So they go about their studying very diligently with all intention to try to understand it properly. Because they know, if I understand this properly, I'll be able to get into the university, get a good career, and live a happy life. We should understand, if we understand this philosophy, this transcendental philosophy, following the standard methodology for understanding it, then our spiritual life is much more likely to be successful than if we remain ignorant. Knowledge is not the whole key to spiritual life, but it helps a lot. One who is fixed in proper understanding of the principles of spiritual life will be determined. He won't be easily confused by the material energy or by the opinions of materialists and pseudo-spiritualists. He'll be able to not become confused by wrong opinions. He'll even have the power to defeat those wrong opinions. And he'll be determined and steadfast, even in difficult situations. If a devotee has strong knowledge, then he can become convinced, yes, I have so many reasons to understand why Krishna consciousness is the real business of human life. So this is what Narada is doing. He's asking to receive his spiritual education from his teacher and father, Brahma. He's asking the right questions, and he's demonstrating by his attitude, by the way he expresses himself in asking his questions, that he's ready to receive the instructions faithfully, and he will take them to heart and put them to good use. Therefore, Brahma is encouraged to teach everything to Narada. When the teacher sees a disciple who is serious, who is seriously inquisitive, and will make good use of the knowledge, then the teacher is ready to go to all difficulty, to take all troubles, spare no pain, to properly instruct the student. So that's the ideal teacher-student relationship being manifested here between Brahma and his youngest son, Narada. And we'll be reading more about how this proceeds in the next few days. Okay, so are there any questions or comments on that? Hare Krishna. Yes, Prabhu.
In all other planets, also Krishna's devotees are there?
Yes, you'll find some Vaishnavas everywhere. Maybe not many, but I don't think there are any planets. There may be some, you've seen, maybe a village where there's no Vaishnavas, or a country where there's no Vaishnavas. But I think if you look on every planet, you'll find at least a few. I'm not sure. I haven't, seen the complete census of the universe. But I would presume that, we find description in the fifth canto of Bhagavatam how there are Vaishnavas on so many different planets. Even in Patala Loka, on Sutala Loka, other planets, there are Vaishnavas. Bali Maharaj, others, Palad is also living there. Even in hell, you find some Vaishnavas. What they're doing there, they went there to preach. Not that they're, sinful and are sent to hell to be suffer, but Vaishnavas go to hell also out of compassion to preach. So you'll find Vaishnavas practically on all realms, all planets. Whether there's some exception, some planet where there's not even one Vaishnava, I don't know. Brahma tries to encourage everybody to become a Vaishnava, but he's not successful with everybody. And what do you mean by Vaishnava? There's different degrees of Vaishnava. Sometimes Prabhupada would give it a liberal definition to say that the Christians, Jews, and Muslims are also Vaishnavas. So it depends. Or you could be very strict and say only someone who has no material motive at all, only Paramahamsa, is really a Vaishnava. It depends how strict you want to define Vaishnava. If you're liberal, then you can find many. You can find more Vaishnavas because you're making your definition very broad. Pure Vaishnavas are rare in the universe. Chara kotipaye. According to Brahma Samhita, the pure devotees of Govinda appear on the earth, but not very frequently. There aren't very many of them. The absolutely pure devotees. They're rare, but they're so pure and so powerful that even one or a few devotees can change the world, can make other people into devotees also. So it's really, the interesting question is not how many places can we find some Vaishnavas in, but where can we find these rare souls, the perfect Vaishnavas? We want to find them, even if there's only two or three of them in the whole universe. Where are they? That's what we want to know. Where can I find their lotus feet? Where are their instructions recorded? I want to hear what Prahlad has to say, what Bali Maharaj has to say, what Bhishma Dev has to say. Wherever they are, or wherever their words are recorded, that's where I want to go. I'll read that book, and I'll go to that place. Okay. Yes, Gadadhar, brother?
Knowledge of Lord Brahma.
Yes.
He knows everything about this past,
Yes?
Sometimes they mention also some great souls, also that the Trikalagya, they know past, present, and future.
Yes, but to know past, present, and future, that's a, you know, that can be understood in relative ways. An astrologer sometimes is also called Trikalagya, because he can, just by doing a mathematical calculation or looking something up in a book, he can predict the future. He doesn't have to be a mystic. He just has to know the science of astrology. And he also has some knowledge of the future and the past. Just by... Just 1 minute. 2 minutes, 5 minutes. Nogur, you wait a few minutes. That's not complete knowledge of past, present, and future. Some knowledge of past, present, and future. And then someone... Nogur, get off of me. Stop it. I mean it. Someone may have some knowledge, some mystic power to know the past and present and future to some extent. He can be called Trikalagya, someone who has some mystic insight. Brahma is Trikalagya in a bigger sense because he knows completely about one universe, at least enough to be the creator of that universe. That's more practically than most other living entities, even the mystics within that universe. There's a higher sense of absolutely knowing everything, past, present, and future, about the spiritual and material universes, only the personality of Godhead, Lord Narayan Krishna. He's the only one who's Trikalagya in the most complete sense. Okay, so there are others, but it's all relative degrees of how much they actually know. They may know only a little bit about the future and the past.
Experience it, or just if he desires, he may see it.
It depends. It depends how fully someone has realized in mystic knowledge. Some can only tell you theoretically, like an astrologer. Okay, you wait a few minutes, okay? Or you're really going to be in trouble. Okay? You know, it depends. Somebody may have only some theoretical knowledge. Someone may have very deeply, practically realized knowledge. He sees it. You can, you know. It depends. It depends on the individual. Okay? Okay. Hare Krishna. Anything else? Okay. Yes, Prabhu. Yes.
My question is, if Jiva has some independence to exhibit some good and bad, how Krishna can know the future of Jiva?
Krishna must know that we're going to rebel against him. That means he could stop it. He could not let us rebel. But he won't do that. He will not interfere. Love must be voluntarily. We must choose to love him. Krishna will never force us to stay faithful to him. If we want to rebel, if we want to reject him, he will never stop us. Otherwise, our submission to him is not out of love, it's out of force. And he doesn't want it to be that way. The love must be voluntary. Therefore, even though Krishna knows what we're going to do in the future, he doesn't stop us from doing it. That's the way he is. He gives us warning. He gives us the instructions of the Vedas. He gives us the sadhus who give us warnings. Don't do this. It's not good for you. So Krishna does interfere through the devotees and through the Vedas. But he never forces us. Directly, he never forces. Even though he knows that we're going to fall down. You know, but he doesn't stop us from doing it. Okay? Okay, we can stop here. Thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.